Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. There are lessons that would be entirely too long at one sitting if everything that could be said on the subject was suggested. This is one of those lessons, so we must abbreviate our remarks and make mention of a few reasons why we study the Bible. Not everybody cares about studying the Bible, and therefore they do not study it. Now, many spend their energies studying catechisms and philosophies of men, or psychology and economics and political science and social revolution and various creeds of human origin, etc. They just as soon know about these things as the Word of God. But we have good reasons for expending ourselves in Bible study. The Bible is often called the Book of Books. It is a volume of some 66 books, and yet a book characterized by unity and singleness of message. It is one book with one primary theme, centered around one central personality, revealing to man the mind of God and God's scheme for the redemption of man. Approximately 40 men were used by the Holy Spirit to compose the Bible. They came from different lands, wrote in different languages, from different occupations and backgrounds. Men wrote it, but it was really authored by deity. And this last observation gives us the first and really an all-sufficient reason for our study of it. The Bible is the Word of God. And if we presented no other reason, this ought to cause sensible men to want to know what it teaches. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past and to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us through his Son, Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. The Son of God is the authority to whom we look in matters of religion. His way and his will is that which the Bible reveals. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Now, friend, this affirms the Scriptures to be verbally inspired, a plenary inspiration, authoritative, infallible, inerrant, and all-sufficient. And this is why we study it. The Bible not only contains the Word of God, but it is the very Word of God. Therefore, it can be read with confidence. It's not always consoling and comforting, but there is no error in it. It is not a science book, but when it speaks scientifically, it speaks harmoniously with everything science has ever proven to be true. It's not just a history book, but it speaks with historical accuracy. Men have sought to destroy it, but it's shown itself to be indestructible. Which translation should we rely upon for accuracy? Friend, any translation that is an accurate translation can be relied upon. Unfortunately, the modern speech versions so often are perverted, especially in crucial areas, and cannot be relied upon for accuracy. The King James Version remains the superior version of all those that have been brought to my attention. Versions like the Revised Standard Version or the New International Version and the individual produced translations have been proven to be overrunning with modernism and denominational dogmas or personal commentaries, to the extent that we cannot present any of them as reliable translations of the Word of God. But the Word of the Lord endureth forever, 1 Peter 1 and verse 25. Now this means something to us. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, 1 Peter 1 and verse 21. That means something to us also. You see, it is not man's interpretation of what he thinks God said or should have said or really wanted to say. It is not a record of some religious experiences of men. It is the Word of God, given through men, as the Holy Spirit selected from their vocabularies the words he wished to use to convey God's message to man. 1 Corinthians 2:10 through 13 teaches the verbal plenary inspiration of the teaching given through men. And for a time, the will of God was embodied in inspired men as they were guided by the Holy Spirit in accordance with the promises Jesus gave the apostles in John 14 and 15 and 16. But now his will is in an inspired book, 2 Timothy 3. Over 2,000 times in the book, no larger than the Bible, we have the words, "Thus saith the Lord," either exactly that way or the equivalent to it. The overwhelming reason for studying the Bible is that it is the Word of God. And another reason is seen when we consider Jesus, after his baptism, being led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Over and over, Jesus blunted the satanic thrust by citing Scripture. "It is written, it is written, it is written." That proved to be the death-dealing blow to the fiery darts of the evil one. And we live in a world where we're constantly tempted to do evil. But the Word of God provides us the weaponry we need to resist and to withstand. Man shall not, in fact he cannot, live by material bread of this life alone. He needs the spiritual food and sustenance that comes from a knowledge of the Word of God. So many have deprived themselves of this support, and they've led lives that are tragic in every respect. Men search for answers from the strangest sources when the real answers to the problems of life are revealed specifically and in principle in the pages of God's revealed Word. Friend, if you were ill and the doctor told you what medicine to take for your cure, would you ignore him? And so many have ignored the great physician as he directs them to his word for their spiritual salvation. How foolish it is for people to neglect the study of the Bible. It is no small matter to consider that we are commanded to study. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. Do you want to be approved of God? Do you want to know how to work for Him? Do you want to handle the Word of God aright? Well, that takes study, and there is no other way. We're commanded to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. But how do we grow? We grow by feeding on the sincere milk of the Word, 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2. When a baby is hungry, he does not care who knows it. In fact, he wants everybody to know it until he gets the food he needs. If he is hungry enough, everybody around him will know it. So should we be just as determined and just as desirous for the spiritual food that God offers. The writer of Hebrews condemned, he warned, he exhorted. "For when, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Hebrews 5, 12 through 14. Something is wrong when we have no appetite for the Word of God. Something is wrong when we're content to ever remain on a milk diet. Something is wrong if time has passed and we should be able and have learned sufficiently to teach others, but we're still incapable of doing so. We're commanded to study. We're commanded to grow. And if we truly love the Lord, we will keep His commandments, John 14, 15. Let me cite to you some good helps that we can use in Bible study. And while we do not look to men as authority, not ever, but to God's book, we can profit from the labors of good people who've gone before us and have compiled various aids to Bible study. We should secure a good Bible dictionary and a concordance. We should have some maps and commentaries by men who have proven themselves faithful to the book. Faithful brethren have written books and tracts and sermons that can provide great assistance to us. But have a good and reliable copy of the Bible by which to measure all things. Having a Bible does no good when left closed and never studied. To learn, we should attend classes whenever we possibly can. Being faithful in Bible study is an indication that one is hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Private study at home is a must in order to get the meat. The benefits of Bible study provide reasons for studying it. What are some of these benefits? Friend, it shows us how to live. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path, Psalm 119, verse 105. It provides understanding, Psalm 130. The opening of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Where else can we learn with confidence of our origin and our purpose for existence and our destiny? What else provides us the reliable hope after this life? Where else can we learn about God and know about His nature and His character? Where else can we learn what He expects of us and how we are to serve Him acceptably? From what other source can we discover what really matters in life and how to establish our priorities in life and how to live before others and how to get along with others? How else can we learn the way to heaven except from that book that tells us of heaven and the only way to reach there? Where can we turn or find the comfort we need when the woes of this world overtake us? What other message warns of the pitfalls into which we might fall and guides us around them? Where are the instructions to prepare for death and the judgment? Is it not all too obvious to all of us that we shall remain here only for a short time, even at the longest? The Bible tells us, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord," Revelation 14:13. What makes them blessed? What did they do to be able to leave this life with confidence in the next? By following what other revelation can we become the sons and daughters of God and have fellowship with deity and the saved of the ages except by the study of the Word of God? Give me the Bible, star of gladness gleaming, to cheer the wanderer, the lone and tempest-tossed. No storm can hide that radiance peaceful beaming since Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Give me the Bible when my heart is broken, when sin and grief have filled my soul with fear. Give me the precious words by Jesus spoken. Hold up faith's lamp to show my Savior near. Give me the Bible, all my steps enlighten. Teach me the danger of these realms below. That map of safety o'er the gloom shall brighten. That light alone the path of peace can show. Give me the Bible, lamp of life immortal. Hold up that splendor by the open grave. Show me the light from heaven's shining portal. Show me the glory gilding Jordan's waves. Give me the Bible, holy message shining. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day. My dear listening friend, these words express why we study the Bible, and there is yet another that we dare not overlook. We shall be judged by those things that are written in this book. Jesus said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." God will judge the world by Christ, Acts 17 and verse 31. At the judgment, books shall be opened and the records shall be revealed, Revelation 20 and verse 12. And the dead are judged out of the things written in the books. The book of God shall be the standard of measure as we stand before His throne, which we all shall do 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. How we shall then want to have known what the Bible taught? But we can know. We can know now if we will study the Bible, the Word of God. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.